and he says, that was number five.
Hello, Joel. Yard Ape here suggested you go first on the invention exchange. Have at it, space guy.
Great movie. No notes.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. It's too bad because I was thinking about like what to talk about. I learned this from my YouTube channel. It's not fun for people when you just rag on something. Like, people don't like you to just be like universally negative. So I'm trying to think of something nice to say. Let's all just say something nice about Hellcats.
Oh,
no, I'll go first.
Okay.
It sure is colorful. There's a lot of color in the movie.
Yeah.
It's not black and white.
Nope.
The film quality, the film stock they used is adequate.
That's right.
Okay, now it's your turn.
Besides the fact that it's in color?
Yeah.
The ladies are pretty.
Yeah, that's true. They found some cuties. Is that enough? Is that enough positivity?
Have we been positive enough? I don't have much else to say. Yeah. There's probably people who like Mystery Science Theater that think this is a really good episode. I don't know why, but I bet you there is, because the fan community is so diverse. It would be interesting to talk to one of those people, because I just don't have anything good to say about it, really.
I guess if you really liked motorcycle movies, like if you were a big fan of Easy Rider and all that kind of stuff, maybe. Mm. Although I feel like those movies, and it's been a long time since I've seen them, but they have a lot more heart. Like, there's a kind of anti-hero thing going on where they're like, you know, buck the system.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't have any of that. These people are not anti-heroes. They were just like,
no, I don't think so.
Obnoxious.
Now that I'm thinking on it, I can't even remember what they're doing the whole time. What was the goal? What was the mission of this movie?
Well, they're all selling drugs, right? Mm-hmm. To each other and to other people and Lord knows what else.
Okay.
And the movie starts with that guy who's undercover.
Yeah.
And he gets murdered.
Right.
By the mob boss guy.
Yeah.
Because they figure out that he's an undercover cop.
Right.
And they shoot him, like, literally while he's hanging out with his fiance.
Awesome.
Just for maximum sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And then his brother comes down and decides he's going to go undercover with the fiance, none of which makes any sense, because if they knew who the guy was, they would have obviously known who his fiance was. And
probably.
Then when she showed up, like, so the whole movie, the basis of the movie is completely nonsensical.
Doesn't make any sense.
Like, from a plot standpoint.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing something, which I don't think I am. But I don't actually care about any of that. Like, you and I have watched a lot of bad movies in our day, and I have enjoyed many of them to a greater or lesser extent. The fact that Hellcats is not a good movie actually doesn't bother me all that much. The fact that the plot doesn't make any sense doesn't bother me all that much. What bothers me is, like, you know, we were talking about it. The word I keep coming back to is mean. The movie feels mean.
Hmm.
Like, it feels kind of nihilistic and opportunistic. And there's no point. Like, you're not rooting for any of them. It's just a dark, unhappy place to be, man.
Yeah. I mean, again, maybe somebody was root. Maybe somebody watches it and roots for those characters. I don't get any heart out of any of it. Feels really, really flat and kind of lifeless. And like you said, kind of just unrelentingly dark and sort of, mean-spirited, kind of boring. And yeah, it did suck the joy out of the Mystery Science Theater part of it. Like, it was hard to feel happiness and laughter, even when the guys were being funny. I just was sort of depressed, you know, because the movie's just so bleak.
It makes me think, and I just didn't occur to me until you just said that, but it makes me think of that famous riff from Red Zone Cuba, where Crow is like, I think I'll never experience joy again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar problem. Like, Red Zone Cuba is just a mean movie. It's like really mean to the people in it. and you're not really sure who you should root for, except this one's actually kind of worse.
I liked Red Zone Cuba better than this for some reason. It's hard for me to say why.
Red Zone Cuba is definitely better than this, but I'm just saying that it has that sort of similar problem where it's like there's no protagonist. Like, they're all kind of terrible people in that movie.
Yeah.
If I remember right, the quote unquote hero is just going to Cuba to make money because he thinks he can run a scam or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he gets caught.
They're all like guns for hire, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
The scene I keep coming back to is the one where they literally hook those two dudes to opposite motorcycles on their feet.
What was that? What were they doing?
I think it's a test of strength. The idea is you have to hold on with your arms for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then the guy who has your feet gets to literally drag you behind a motorcycle
right.
for like 5 minutes.
Right. Fun.
Yeah.
Fun?
Yeah.
And that's fun?
Yeah.
We're having fun now?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think it would be interesting to explore why that makes the riffing less fun. I mean, there were some moments where the guys were on it from a technical standpoint. Like, they were making jokes. You know, there was a few I wrote down where, like, they panned over to that sign that says that it's the disposal barge. Right. And Kevin's like, it was the disposal barge all along. Uh-huh. Like, they're trying, right? But like, somehow it doesn't work.
No.
And it's something related to the fact that the movie is so mean, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I guess it's just that feeling of like you're in high school and there's bullies and then you're trying to be funny,
mm-hmm.
but it's also kind of tense.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of tension throughout the whole film. I felt very tense watching it. I didn't like, even when it was trying to be sort of like, because I think there were moments that were trying to be lighthearted. I'm thinking of like the guy that spends the whole movie kind of weirdly like drunk, or he's having like a bad trip or something.
Yeah.
And they keep going back to him and he's like right on the edge of being comic relief.
Yeah.
Because he's sort of over the top and big, you know, like he's playing it really big.
Right.
But it's not funny.
No.
Like, it's more scary than funny.
Yeah.
And then they actually like start putting scary music behind his scenes, which makes me think like, oh, okay, so there is no warmth to this, to any of this. Like, even the funny guy is actually, it turns out, he's just really scary.
Yeah, I don't want to just like pile on the movie, but I have to get this off my chest that once again, and this is a theme now, the music is wildly inappropriate. It's good music, right? So we found out that music done by Davy Jones of the Monkees as like a side project. And so it's competently done music. And if you listen to it independent of the movie, I think it would be fun to listen to, but it does not match the movie at all.
Yeah, well, it's bright 60s surf pop, which I like. Like, I like surf pop.
Yeah.
But why was it in this really bleak motorcycle gang movie?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, this movie should have had, I don't know, some kind of at least heavier rock and roll kind of thing going on. Something darker and more, like, edgy and louder, you know? And Davy Jones is just a sort of a sweet-sounding pop crooner, you know?
He's a goof.
So, yeah, you're right. The tone, it's almost like they had no music. Like, this is just one guess. And they made the movie. And then at the last second, like, they were going to put music in. But somebody was like, some producer was like, hey, I got Davy Jones. I got him. I got Davy Jones. And they were like, ooh, that's kind of a weird fit, but okay.
So I asked the internet, actually, after we watched the movie last night.
Yeah, what'd you find out?
And there's a theory on the internet. Apparently the company that made this movie, and I forget the name, it's like a long name, they are known for doing this. They made a whole series of these super nihilistic movies, and it was a very intentional marketing choice.
Uh-huh.
And then the use of upbeat music was also an intentional marketing choice to pull in like a different demographic.
Oh.
Like, they would put the happy, cheery music in the trailer.
Yeah.
And sucker in people who liked happy, cheery things, but then people who knew them knew that they were going to get this nihilism thing. Like, we were thinking at one point that maybe it was kind of a Reefer Madness type situation where, you know, they needed to show how terrible this lifestyle was so they could get past the censors. Uh-huh. But apparently, according to the internet, this was just a total cynical marketing. This was what this company did. They made a whole series of these super nihilistic movies where everyone sucks
Everything's
terrible.
Can we make sure we don't ever watch any of the other ones?
Well, and of course, it makes you wonder, like, who picked this movie for Mystery Science Theater? Because they blew it on this one. And you were mentioning that this is season two and that maybe they just didn't have their groove on yet.
They did. I do feel that, you know, we've been tracking these guys for decades now. And we just watched, you know, in the previous episode of the podcast, we talked about this live Riff Tracks event, you know, where they watched a bunch of shorts. And like one of the things that made that night so memorable, and, you know, we both gave it basically like a 10 out of 10, is that they just pick them really well. And yeah. I do think that all iterations of Mystery Science Theater and all of the former and current cast members are better at picking movies and shorts than they used to be.
Right.
They just seem to understand that movies like Hellcats are just a no-fly zone for Mystery Science Theater. They just don't make good comedy.
Yeah, I try to think about, I picture them trying to do Clockwork Orange.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Riff Tracks guys have done some good movies, and that can go okay. But so I don't think it's so much a problem that Clockwork Orange is a famous or good movie, but it seriously would be a problem that it's so dark. Mean and toxic.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't watch super, super, super dark stuff.
No, just it doesn't work.
Fly.
No. Because then you feel weird about laughing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and we were asking ourselves, like, I think for the first half hour, we weren't sure if this movie was like supposed to be treated like a critically, like an art, like a work of art.
Right. Like, are they really trying to make a movie or just put bikinis up on screen?
Yeah.
Is this Horrors of Spider Island or is this person actually think they're making a movie?
So basically it's Horrors of Spider Island, but just more cynical.
Yeah.
It's so sad. That's a bummer.
Yeah. It's kind of a downer.
I did not like this. Yeah. I've never felt so little joy after a Mystery Science Theater episode. It's funny because I did this whole thing where I watched them all years ago and I had rated them all out of 10 and I gave this one a 6 at the time and I just keep going back to like, what was I thinking? Like, was I kind of out of it that day?
Yeah. Did you have any insight, any more insight in your thoughts?
No, just maybe because it was in color and because it had some action and some biker babes. You know, on the surface of it, like if you're not paying a lot of attention to it, it sort of feels like it would be a fun episode. You know, like biker movies are cool and hot babes and there's certainly no shortage of like car chases and, you know, but no, it's still bad.
Yeah, I guess if you kind of just flitted in and out of the room and you happen to just catch a couple
maybe
scenes.
Maybe that's what I was doing.
You might be. But see, then you get to the other problem. And again, I feel bad now. I feel like I'm piling on. But also don't think the Mystery Science Theater guys did a great job on this one.
Hmm.
Like the skits are kind of a 0 out of 10. Like basically I looked it up on the internet and they essentially admitted that the writers were out of town.
Yeah.
Cause most of the quote unquote skits are actually them doing these quote unquote flashbacks, which is a thinly veiled way to just show old skits. Yeah. I've never seen them do that before or since. Have you? I mean,
no,
it's such an obvious dodge. It's like, hey, we don't know what to do. So here, watch our old skits again.
Yeah.
It's a little bit cynical.
Well, there used to be a lot more of that on television. Old shows had to fill like 20, 25 episodes a season.
Yeah.
And so you would see that on a lot of like sitcoms, on a lot of, you know, Star Trek did it a couple times.
Totally.
They had like they had the episode where like Commander Riker's in a coma and then they just show scenes about Commander Riker.
Yeah. Well, and hey, like to be clear, I'm not trying to rag on Joel and the guys. I mean, making a TV show is incredibly hard. I'm just saying that if ever there was an episode that needed to be saved by some amazing skits, it's this one.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely didn't.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of like, and even the riffs, like, I feel like they're very, we talked about this, like, they're very Joel-style riffs. I have nothing against Joel. I think Joel is hilarious sometimes, but Maybe I actually, that's the wrong way to put it. They're not Joel style. They're early MST3K riffs, yeah. Because so many of them, we both noticed this independently, were those kind of riffs where you need to know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They were deep cuts.
Yeah.
Like there were a lot of times, and I've watched a lot of movies, but I had no idea what they were talking about. They would reference people that I never heard of.
Or super obscure Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they started out as film buffs, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And one of the interesting things about Mystery Science Theater is it's never really been fully clear whether this is a show about movies. Like, is it a show for movie buffs? Right. Mm. And I feel like in the very early days of Mystery Science Theater, it was more like that. It was very obvious that you were watching people that loved movies and knew a lot about movies, watch movies, and then make meta commentary based on their understanding of movies,
right,
about those movies. That isn't really the way it works anymore. Like, that's not really what they do.
No, it isn't what they do at all. Yeah. I think the current modern cast is really much more dialed into, like, just making a comedy show, you know?
Right.
And it's not about the movies.
Hey, so on a positive note, we could talk about something positive that has nothing to do with this movie, which is they're bringing back Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
With Mike and the Bots.
Well, that's the real surprise to me, because Mike was the last holdover. He was the only guy from the old cast that I can recall that hasn't been involved in the new Mystery Science Theater. And I kind of thought he just was never going to do it.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? He's sort of not retired. Like, he keeps busy. He's got podcasts and riff tracks and stuff, but he looks like he's sort of, we talked about how he's getting older and, you know, I know he has like chronic headaches and other kind of health problems. And I'm like, you know, he probably just doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do the puppet show anymore. And then just out of nowhere, I wake up one morning and there's a YouTube 4-minute trailer. It's him and then it's Kevin and Bill playing, you know, Tom Cerro and Crow, just like old times.
Well, I don't want to fall into the internet trap of making this all about some kind of like Joel versus Mike thing, because I don't think that's real. I think they like each other. They work together.
Those guys are fine.
However, it is interesting to me that Mike is showing up right at the moment when basically Joel is bowing out. Like, it's interesting to me that they didn't use Joel at all in any of the Kickstarter. They didn't even use his name.
Mm.
And I know behind the scenes that basically what happened is Joel's company sold everything to Shout Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joel no longer really has any creative control over any of this. So I'm not saying Joel was vetoing Mike being involved, but if he had been, that would explain why suddenly Mike shows up.
Interesting. Because
it's not Joel's decision
anymore. Well, the other possibility is that Joel just wrote Mystery Science Theater his way, and his way was that, you know, Mike just wasn't going to be featured. He might have invited Mike to be a cameo.
Yeah.
Like in the season 11, 12, right. 13. And right. then that would have been like, it's kind of like there was a point where they were going to make an original series Star Trek movie, and I think it was like Shatner's idea or something, and Spock would have had like a tiny role. And the guy that played Spock was just like, no, I'm not going to do, like, Spock is awesome. I'm not going to do tiny Spock roles. Right. Yeah. So Mike might've done the same thing. He might've just been like, you know, I'm going to bide my time. And if someday there's an opportunity to be like full on Mike Nelson and be the host again, I'll do that. But right. if it's Joel writing everything and he wants to have like a new guy, and then Mike would just be a cameo or something, because a lot of the other guys did do cameos. I mean, Kevin did Bobo and
right.
Bill did Brain Guy, and they brought Josh
Weinstein
back to do his, you know, elderly version of Doctor, whatever it is.
Right.
So they all had their little moments where they had an opportunity to like slip in and do very, very small roles.
Right.
Maybe Mike just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Mystery Science Theater comes down to, you know, fans love to create controversy where it doesn't really exist. I think honestly, most of these dudes just want to do what they want to do, you
right.
know? And if someone lets them do that, then they're like, great. And if that's not someone's bag, then it's not, no one's taking anything personally. There's no real rifts. There's no feuds going on. It's just, they just do their thing.
No, but I do think that it's maybe along the lines of what you said, which is Mike was like, hey, no offense, but if Joel's creatively in control of this, I just don't want
to participate.
I don't really know where I fit in. Not because I don't like Joel as a human being, but just because like...
They have different philosophies.
It's not my jam.
Yeah. They come at comedy from a different place, you know?
Right.
And they have a different aesthetic for comedy. Yeah. And I think that's fine. I think that's one of the things that's great about Mystery Science Theater is you're allowed to like Mike and Joel and Jonah and everybody. And you don't have to really pick which one's like the best, quote unquote.
Yeah, there was an interesting... I mean, of course, everybody on Reddit was super happy about it, but there was a sort of mild... a cautionary note, is that the right word, where people were like, the one good thing that Joel really did was make Mystery Science Theater not about him, but rather an environment where people can get plugged into it. Like Joel always wanted it to be an evergreen thing, mm-hmm. where different people could take on the role of the guy in space, mm-hmm. and different people could take on the bots. And arguably he pushed that too far and made things confusing with like three simultaneous hosts. But I think his heart's in the right place, that the idea is that, you know, it's not like Shatner doesn't have to be Kirk, right? We can have lots of Kirks and we can reboot the universe over and over again.
Yeah.
And people were like, I hope we don't close that off. Mm. Like, I hope Mike and Kevin and Bill keep that spirit going and maybe even invite back Jonah or Emily or Joel or somebody else. But like, it can't go back to being just about Mike and Bill and Kevin. And I don't think it will. I mean, you know, they've raised $1.4 million or some craziness by now. And they said they're going to build all these sets and everything. And obviously they're not. So they publicly claim they're going to do 4 episodes, mm-hmm. but there's no way they're just going to do 4 episodes and be like, okay, well, I guess we're done. Like that's so one option is that they just go back to doing it full time, like the three of them. But I'm not buying that. I don't think any of them want to do that kind of workload. So my guess is they're going to need other people to come in and do other episodes. Now, the question is going to be, is it going to be the old crew? Are they going to use Jonah and Emily and mm-hmm. Joel? Or are they just going to get their own people, like people that they know and they work with? Because I'm sure they have some.
I don't know. That'll be interesting to see, I guess.
Yeah.
I think everybody that's done Mystery Science Theater deserves more screen time from the very beginning, like the Joel and Josh crew.
Yeah.
Through to Jonah. I like Emily a lot. You know, they all... deserve to have a chance to be funny. So I don't lose either way as the consumer, because as long as they make more Mystery Science Theater, like it doesn't really matter that much to me who's on screen.
Totally.
I do want to see, like you said, the variety. I do like the variety. I think they were going down a good path, to your point, by letting different people host and having sort of a rotation. It did get a little plot confusing, but it was fun, you know, to like turn it on and be like, oh, who's going to riff this week? Oh, look, it's Emily. Oh, look, it's Joel, you know?
Well, and if you hope to be, as I do, watching new Mystery Science Theater 20 years from now, then it better work that way.
Yeah, because right.
They're not going to keep doing it.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that's...
Well, nothing ever dies anymore. There's probably going to be endless Mystery Science Theater, just like there's endless everything.
I wasn't so sure for a while, but now I have a lot more confidence. Yes. One of the things, I mean, I'm super excited. I definitely don't want to make it sound like I'm not excited, but you know, it's my baby as it is yours. And so, you know, you worry, right? And one thing I worry about a little bit is what I would call the riff tracksification of Mystery Science Theater. I love riff tracks. I think it's really cool what they've done, and they're enormously financially successful, if nothing else. And so there is a temptation there to make Mystery Science Theater slowly more like Riff Tracks.
Oh, huh.
And I feel like that would be a mistake. Like I think Mystery Science Theater always needs to have the silhouettes of people in front of it. For example, I wouldn't want to just suddenly have that fade or go away.
Yeah.
And I don't want to download an audio track and sync it up with a movie. And I don't want, you know what I mean? And I want skits. I don't want those two paradigms to blend. I'm thrilled if they keep doing riff tracks. That's awesome. But I just want it separated from mm-hmm. Mystery Science Theater.
Well, I would take heart in the fact that they led their marketing effort, their big announcement literally led with like a slow reveal of Crow and Tom Servo. I mean, it's pretty clear that they're committed to the puppets.
Yes. Though it is interesting that, and this is obvious, Mike's fingers all over this, all of the marketing and all of the Kickstarter stuff has been heavily Riff Trax branded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed, but like even the main logo was like MST3K brought to you by Riff Trax.
Well, you do the same thing.
I would.
It's your company.
He's a good businessman.
Yeah. It's his brand. He built it from scratch.
I totally agree. And the guy knows what he's doing, but I'm just saying, you know, if I turn on Mystery Science Theater one day and it's no silhouettes and no skits, I'm going to be sad. That won't feel like Mystery Science Theater to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm optimistic. We'll see. But, you know, I'm excited for the future of Mystery Science Theater.
Well, it's going to be great. I mean, if nothing else, we're going to get four brand new, super old school Mike
and
Bots episodes.
What a trip.
I mean,
really didn't think I would ever see that.
Yeah.
This is the moment in time where I truly believe that as far as Mystery Science Theater goes, like literally anything is possible.
Yeah.
Until Mike had this opportunity, for better or worse, to insert himself into it and sort of complete the OG cast coming back, I wasn't sure. But now I'm like, anything could happen.
Yeah.
They could do literally anything.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised by any development in the Mystery Science Theater camp going forward. Now I'm like, ready for whatever may come.
Well, one interesting thing that could happen, and I don't honestly know how to feel about this, I think I'm okay with it, I think I'm cautiously optimistic about the idea, would be adding in guest people. Like, we went and saw, as you pointed out, Riff Trax, and they had John Hodgman there.
Yep.
Would they put John Hodgman on an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Maybe. I mean, well, remember season 11, which was sort of the highest budget redo, or the highest budget new Mystery Science Theater, was when they had like Jerry Seinfeld was on an episode, and like,
was he?
Yeah. And a couple other comedians. And I mean, like, Patton Oswalt is no small potatoes.
No. Yeah. Well, I don't even necessarily mean that they have to be famous people. They might just be like, oh my God, what's his name? Macaulay Culkin or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, this like,
right.
I don't know how they would do that fictionally, but like, again, it's just a show, so maybe I should just relax, right? Uh-huh. It's like,
yeah.
Would it be funny if he just showed up one day on the set of Layla Love and they were like, hey, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
He's looking for the bathroom. And
I mean, they could always come up with a character for him, you know?
Yeah.
That Jerry Seinfeld didn't play himself. He played some kind of space businessman or something. We'll get to it. It'll come up.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah, season 11 had a few guest stars in it. It was kind of the season of guest stars.
Joel knew a lot of comedians. He was a pretty connected dude.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that know Joel Hodgson.
Remember in the old series when Pearl was visited by like
Leonard Maltin?
Yeah, Leonard Maltin.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who wrote like that huge movie book.
Right.
So they've had celebrities from time to time.
Right.
It's not their main modus operandi, but you know, they're pretty good at folding in like weird little guest star things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Jonah or Joel or any of them just crop up, at least for a cameo.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me, honestly.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Mike thing, I wouldn't be horrified and shocked. I mean, they're going to have Pearl. Right.
Yeah.
So we already know they're going to have Mary Jo Pahle.
Right.
And, you know, who else?
They haven't really talked about Trace or.
Trace and Frank are the last two holdouts. They haven't done anything really with Mystery Science Theater in the new series.
Yeah.
They're the last two, really. Yeah.
I would think they would be up for it. I think getting Josh, Trace, basically everybody except Joel is no problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting to see if and how Joel wants to be involved in this at all.
Yeah, who knows? Joel might be satisfied for a while.
Yeah.
He might be good.
He might just be like, I'm done with this.
He has worked really hard on Mr. Science.
He really worked hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, that guy, you cannot fault his hustle.
No.
He wanted it real bad.
He had a vision.
He pushed and pushed and pushed. And he, I mean, to be clear, if he hadn't done that, it might have just died on the vine. I mean, he brought it back for three seasons.
Totally.
And they were good. I like them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that it kind of fumbled at the end zone doesn't mean that it wasn't good stuff along the way. You know, as I've started to get more involved in making creative stuff myself, and I mean, I know you feel this way too, you just develop more and more appreciation for how hard it is to do anything, mm-hmm. you know, and you start to really not want to crap on people's artistic output because, like, you just start to realize how hard it is just to get something out the door. Like, when I first saw Manos, The Hands of Fate, I was like, that guy's such an idiot. But I think I have a more nuanced view of it now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he made a whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a whole movie.
Yeah.
And then he got it in a movie theater.
Yeah, full-length feature film.
It's terrible. But, you know, I didn't make a movie.
No. And you'd have a hard time doing it, too, if you wanted to.
Yeah, and it's much easier now. Technology is so much more, you know, accessible, but still, I wouldn't know how to make a movie.
Yeah, once you fold in all the different elements, lighting and casting and script writing and all that stuff, it's a lot of work.
Location shoots,
mm-hmm.
weather,
yeah.
unions. I mean, Lord only knows, right? Anyway, well, we got far afield from Hellcats. I guess, as is tradition, we need to give it a rating.
Yeah.
I have managed to box myself in a little bit because what was the movie I gave a 2? Was it Horrors of Spider Island?
Horrors of Spider Island.
Okay, yeah. I want that one back.
You're upping that to like a 3 or something?
Yeah, I might retroactively give that one a 3 because I don't have very far to go now.
It's night and day for me. Horrors of Spider Island was fun and hilarious, and Hellcats is none of those things.
I still didn't like Horrors of Spider Island. I'm not going to go above a 3, but I do want to make it clear how bad I didn't like Hellcats.
Yeah.
Can I give it a 0? Can we have a level 0?
Sure.
I know we said 1 through 10.
Do whatever
10,
you
but,
want. No.
But I think I want to give it. It's like I want to give it a 1, but then I take away a point for it just being so mean spirited.
I can't give it a 0 or 1 because I still know that there's actually worse out there. I'm still aware of like the KTMA shit. Yeah. And this is not the worst episode of Mystery Science Theater. I'm quite sure of it.
It might be one of the worst for me just because I think for my personal metrics, the KTMAs don't bother me that much because incompetent doesn't bother me as much as mean.
Mm.
Like mean is really where I draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty confident in my 0. I can't imagine it getting too much worse than this.
Okay.
I've certainly never seen, it would have to be one I've never seen because nothing I've seen for Mystery Science Theater was worse, was less fun. I mean, this is one of those episodes we were watching in your apartment, and I was like, dear God, please end. Like, literally, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just need this to stop.
And then it kind of wouldn't end for a while. It kind of, like, dragged out a little at the end.
And there was this whole final scene that was supposed to be, like, touching between her and him, and you were like, are they going to have sex? Or
no, they didn't really.
No.
Nothing really happened.
Okay, so 0 for me.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not going to give it a 6 like I did all those years ago. I got it downgraded from that. But I think I'm going to assume that it gets worse than this, and I'm not going to bottom it out too bad. So I'll give it like a 4, I guess, because it's in color, and it's not season 1 or KTMA. And I did think there's some riffs that were pretty funny. I mean, I did laugh out loud a few times.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that they recycled the skits, but I did actually like one or two of the skits. So I was like, well, at least they recycled good ones. Just, you know, as an honorable mention, I still think Dr. Forrester and TV's Frank are really funny. And I mean that, like them at the beginning, randomly they're on these like half motorcycles.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, your next film. And Joel's like, is it a biker film? It's a biker film. And they're just like, row, row, row. And then Frank says like, I don't dig that soul brother or whatever. Like even if I get like 60 seconds of them per episode, it's got to jump it. It gets 1 point just for that, you know?
Yeah.
So 4, I'm going to say 4.
Okay. Yeah. I'm probably painting myself in a corner.
You're going to regret it later.
A couple months from now, I'm going to be like, but I know the KTMA ones aren't going to bother me as much as this. It would have to be like Red Zone Cuba or The Legend of Boggy Creek or one of those where it's like, this is mean. I mean, Red Zone Cuba is going to be a struggle. That might also be a zero. But the thing about Red Zone Cuba is the skits are fantastic.
Yeah. Like, Red Zone Cuba is one of my favorite episodes, honestly.
I mean, the movie might be bad, but the skits really rescue that one. Whereas the skits here are like negative.
They didn't save it. No.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sticking to my guns.
Boy, I really hope we watch a better one next time.
Well, maybe we have to like just break our random streak. And
maybe.
Like, I need to rinse this out.
I just don't, even if it could, we'll just watch an average one.
Yeah, right. You know? Right.
Yeah.
Like that one about the San Francisco airport or sure. something like that.
Sure. San Francisco International. Yeah. That's great.
Right. Just super middle of the road.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, sorry that we were such a bummer, but we didn't like that one.
No, but we do like that Mike is coming back.
And we do very much look forward to seeing the bots. Yeah, again. So. That's amazing. Okay, see you next time.
Bye.
Fucking Hellcats. Oh, I get it. You take a rototiller and you hook a guy between the two and therefore avoid any plot.
Yep.